we're going to start thanking God for all the prayers He's already answered. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord's good to us tonight. I'm telling you, He's good. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I want to say thanks to all these workers that are working hard and doing so many good things around here. Amen. I want to support these youth camps. You may be seated for a moment. I want to ramble for a minute before I preach. I do want to say tonight that I do support the idea of if you don't have the money to go to camp, helping to earn that. I'm not much on just handouts. I'm real big on personal responsibility. I said I'm real big on personal responsibility. I grew up that way. It served me good my whole life. I learned a work ethic when I was young, and I'm thankful for that. And I want to pass that on to our young people. I believe it's a great gift.
Amen.
Amen. To have the confidence that when something comes up, you can make it happen some way or another. You learn to put your head to thinking and put your hands to working, and you'll come up with a solution somehow. Amen. And so I encourage this. It's what I have proposed from the beginning. Amen. And I do want to say this about camps. Our camps are a little bit different. Our camps are geared to Pentecostal youth. And in Pentecostal youth, that is, that they already kind of know the rules of Pentecost. It's that they're intended to encourage our youth. They're about evangelism in one sense, but not altogether. They're not open just to everybody. They're open to Pentecostal youth. And the reason we do that is because we need a place that our kids can get together and our ladies can wear their long skirts and not feel that they're looked down on by everybody else. They have to do that all year at school. They need to get into an atmosphere where they can be Pentecostal and be proud of it. And not feel intimidated by anybody. Amen. They need to get in an atmosphere every now and then where they feel normal. Because you and I know that when they get outside and they go back to school, they stick out like a sore thumb. And praise God for it. They're a great witness. Amen. But it's good every now and then to go somewhere. They just feel normal. And so that's how Pentecostal camps are geared. They're geared for Pentecostal youth. Amen. And that's the reason it's a little bit different. Anything we have around here is open to everybody. And once you get a little foundation, camp's open to everybody too. But you got to know the rules and be willing to follow the rules. All right? Amen. I have never had to go get a camper from camp, and I never want to. And if I ever have to, lo and behold, for that camper. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to teach them how to act before they get there. Isn't that right? Amen. My pastor, when I was going to Bible college and camp, he used to tell me, he'd say, some people go to camp and they see angels. He said, others go and they see devils. Amen. My first youth camp, I was 14 years old. Not 15 years old. I did turn 15. I was 15 years old. First youth camp. I got the Holy Ghost. Very first night, very first service. I went up there to get the Holy Ghost. And so the very first altar invitation, I received the Holy Ghost that night. June the 19th, 1967. And there was a young lady there. She was, I think, about 21. And she told me, she said, I just had a vision, and I believe it's the will of God that we get married. That really bothered me. I thought, Lord, this girl's got the Holy Ghost. And I got the Holy Ghost. Why didn't you tell me about this? You see, I was very naive and innocent. I thought, surely she'd heard from the Lord, but I sure wasn't feeling that. Amen. Well, I got some sense since then. Amen. I've heard other people say that they got stuff from the Lord, and I think they just got it from something they ate, or maybe their imagination. Amen. But so you see, youth camp's an exciting place. And I support youth camps. I got the Holy Ghost at youth camp. I worked in youth camps for 20 years. I love youth camp. I'm all for it. So, but you got to go there like everything else. You go for the right reason, it'll be glorious. You go for the wrong reason, just don't go. Amen. If you're going for the boys, don't go. If you're going for the girls, don't go. Amen. If you're just going for any other reason than to fellowship with young people and get a blessing from the Holy Ghost and be a blessing to others, then go ahead and go. Amen. And when you get there, make up your mind the very first service, I'm going to give it all I got this whole youth camp. Amen. Praise the Lord. And let me just encourage you campers. When you go, you don't get with those lame brains that sit on the back. And I don't mean this by anybody sitting on the back. Somebody's got to sit on the back. But I'm saying that at youth camp, generally those that sit on the back are losers. And I'm not talking about y'all. Amen. You know, I have learned since I got older, I don't know if my kidneys work better or worse, but I know they work a lot more often. So, whatever that means, I don't know. But that's the way it is. So at some meetings, you may see me in the back, and that's the reason. Because I don't want to sit down there in the front, though I'd like to, and walk all the way over some one more. You know, I find that it's just better kind of be, you know. I can feel, and y'all can feel the Holy Ghost in the back, right? Oh, yeah. I know you can. Praise the Lord. So you worship it. So I'm not criticizing, but I'm saying young people, you know, when you go, you don't want to sit back there, because most of those back there, you know, on their cell phones or passing notes or laughing, carrying on. You need to get up there where the action is. And that's what I just want to say this tonight. Our young people know how to worship. And they love to worship. And they do worship. Amen. And I'm very proud of them tonight. Praise the Lord. They're a good example wherever they go. So you that are going to Crusaders camp, I want you to do the same thing. Amen. I want you to do just like these other young people. You're going to be, in a few years, they'll be married and gone, and you're going to be the youth. And I want you to have that same fire and zeal and love for God and passion, Holy Ghost. All right. That was sermon number one. Stand with me. We're going to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5, and verse 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Scripture said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Whom resist? But say resist. Say it like you mean it. Resist. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. For the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. I want you to notice that little phrase. After that ye have suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach, whatever we do tonight on this subject, certain Christian laws. And the Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Certain Christian laws. The Apostle Peter is writing to a persecuted church. The early church was a church that started with persecution from the very beginning. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that when the Holy Ghost fell, some people were amazed, some people marveled, and some people mocked. Right. Amen. If you live the Christian life, there are people that are going to mock you. There are people that are going to laugh at you. There are people that are not going to appreciate you. There are people that are going to sabotage you in every way they can. There are people that are going to try their very best to bring you down. There are people that are going to say things about you and don't even know why they're saying it. They're being used by the enemy and they don't even know it. They don't like you and they don't know why. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you live the Christian life, there's going to be a little trouble along the way. But there's going to be some good along the way. Amen. One of the very first laws of the Christian life is the law of humility. Humility is not thinking little of yourself. That would be inferiority. If you think that you're less than somebody else, that's not good. To not appreciate who you are and what God has done for you and what God has made you is not to appreciate what God has done in your life. You ought to thank God for the gifts and the abilities that you have. You ought to thank God for your talents. Amen. Don't go around saying I'm nothing and I'm a nobody. You are not. You are created in His image, filled with His Spirit, baptized in His name. Amen. You're His representatives and His ambassadors on the earth. You're somebody. Now, we don't let that go to our head, but neither do we hang our head and say that we're nothing and we're nobody. That's not humility. That's inferiority. And that's not good. Do you know why inferiority is not good? If I digress a little bit, let me just preach on this for a minute. I know that because I used to have an inferiority complex. I overcame that when I began to understand this. Inferiority, its roots are in pride. Now, how's that, Brother Grissom? Because you're thinking about yourself. That's right. You think people look down on you because you're thinking about yourself. You think you're less than somebody else because you're only thinking about yourself. You see where the roots are? It's in self. Amen. And the same thing with pride, isn't it? Pride's the opposite. Pride is when you think too much of yourself and think too highly of yourself. But both of them, the root is the same thing. It's pride. And pride is, and selfishness is the original sin, isn't it? That's what got the devil was in trouble, was selfishness. Amen. So, you see, either of those, they're both extremes and neither is good. Humility is not thinking little of yourself. Humility, you're just not really thinking of yourself at all. You're just out there doing what the Lord told you to do. You're not worried about what people are going to think, what people are going to say, because you're on business for the King. Amen. We're doing this for the Lord here. So if you sing a song and you do good, praise the Lord. Amen. You do a song and you do bad, praise the Lord. I've been doing this for a while. And I made a bunch of mistakes. When I started out, Brother Bacon, it used to really embarrass me when I got in a wrong key or something. And I'd get so embarrassed. Hey, man, now I just laugh. And say, well, we fell in the crack on that one. See if you can get me out. Thank God for musicians. Hey, man, sometimes I get so far in the crack, I can't get out. You hear me every now and then, I'll say, you'll have to start it over there because I'm so lost now, I sure can't find my way out. Amen. I mean, I can't hear it. I can't get out of there. It's all in my head. I'm mixed up. I used to get all embarrassed about that. But you see, if you make enough mistakes, you don't worry about it anymore.
Just learn how to laugh. And I've learned that for the most part, people, when they laugh, they're not laughing at me. They're laughing at what I did. Or what I said. Hear me, young people. Amen. And especially young ministers. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to mess up. Don't let that intimidate you. It's not about you. Who's it about? Jesus Christ. So you get up there, amen, and you start over. And you say, hey, let me have another shot at it. Amen. You're going to preach sermons sometimes. Man, you're going to leave and you're going to be battling pride. You did so good. The devil's going to be patting you on the back. Everybody in the congregation is going to be patting you on the back. And man, you're going to be feeling 10 foot tall. And you're not going to say it because you're an humble person. But inside you're saying, man, woo, I nailed it tonight. I am telling you. I mean to tell you, I was with it tonight. I was in the Holy Ghost. And then you're going to preach other times. And it's going to be like the preacher said. He said, I dropped my watermelon. He said there was watermelon from the front to the back. It splattered up on every wall. It covered the floor. And that's how you're going to feel, like crawling on the floor. You're going to feel so bad and so discouraged. Amen. You're going to feel like I ain't never going to do this again. I messed up so bad. Amen. And there's people, God uses that anyhow. I did that one time. I got the privilege. I was a Bible college. I got to preach in one of the larger churches in the Texas district on a Sunday morning, just a Bible college student. Man, I'm telling you, you talk about feeling bad about messing up. I felt like I did so bad that morning. Amen. And while I was patting myself on the back, feeling sorry for myself, God was filling 8 people with the Holy Ghost in the altar. It didn't have anything to do with Johnny Grissom. It had everything to do with Jesus Christ. Amen. Humility is when you understand that. Amen. You think you're really something and somebody. God can use a donkey if He needs to. Amen. That's right. Shake your head like this right here. That ought to take the pride out of us. Amen. It's not God got to have me. God got to have you. Amen. You get to thinking, well, you know, that's not my talent. You think God's really depending on your talent? I'm not smart enough. You really think God needs your smarts? You think He's depending on how smart you are? Oh, no. Amen. God can bless in spite of your lack of intelligence. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you see, humility is whenever we just humbly do the will of God. You know, Jesus did that, didn't He? Jesus is our perfect example of what humility is. He's God manifest in flesh. If there was anybody that ever had anything to boast about, it was Jesus Christ. But the Bible said He made of Himself no reputation. He wasn't worried about that. He wanted to do one thing, and that was the will of the Father. That's all He wanted to do. And that's what our humility is. The law of humility is, I want to please the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to please Jesus. I want to do what pleases the Lord. Jesus said, I do my Father's will always. Now, most of us cannot say it quite that strongly. We do the will of the Lord, perhaps even often, but most of us struggle a little bit with always. Amen. Somehow our own will seems sometimes to get in the way. Amen. One of the laws of Christianity, the first law, is humility. Genuine humility. Amen. God cannot bless arrogance. Now hear me closely here. Sometimes there's a thin line between confidence and arrogance. Sometimes you can speak so boldly and so confidently in the Holy Ghost that people think you're being arrogant, but you're not. Amen. When your spirit is right, you're not being arrogant whenever you declare things in the Holy Ghost, and it sounds a whole lot like arrogance because you speak so emphatically and so powerfully and so passionately. Amen. But it's not. You see, if in your spirit you realize this is God, and when you get through talking, you're shaking in your shoes saying, why in the world did I say that? Amen. That's when you come down and humility begins to take place. You thought, ooh, that'd have better been in the Holy Ghost. I will be picking up pieces for 6 months around here. Amen. It better be in the Holy Ghost. You see, when it's spoken in the Holy Ghost, it will come to pass and it will work. And the Holy Ghost is at work. When you speak in arrogance, you're on your own. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Humility is important. The Bible said God resists the proud. Doesn't it say that? He resists the proud. James said that. James chapter 4, verse 6. He said, he giveth more grace. Talking about the humble. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen. If you're having a hard time making progress in your life, let's see if there's a root of pride somewhere. Amen. You know, pride can show up in the... Some people are proud of their humility. Amen. It's like that guy who wrote a 1,000-page book called Humility and How I Achieved It. Amen. So you see, that. But sometimes, you know, pride can be very deceptive. It can be very deceptive. It wears a lot of faces, and it's not always easy to detect. People can be proud of the strangest things. I've seen people proud of their poverty. I've seen people proud of their sickness. Huh? Well, that's all they want to talk about. Hello? And you try to talk to them about healing, they don't want to hear that. Oh, they want to talk about how bad they are. You ever notice that? Have you ever tried to tell somebody about when you were feeling a little bad and they say, oh, that's nothing, brother. Well, yeah, it is something. It's me. Amen. But pride has a lot of faces, doesn't it? But the Bible said God resists pride. God resists it. You're not going far when God's resisting you. You're not going anywhere. I told you a story one time. We had these two dogs when I was growing up. One of them was a big old German shepherd dog. The other one was a little small poodle. And the little poodle, when we got her, I don't know what happened before we got her, but something happened to her right front leg. And it had a pin in it, and it was like this. So she ran around on three legs. But man, she could get around. And that little poodle had attitude. I mean, if she'd been as big as a German shepherd, we would have been in trouble. She had attitude. And sometimes she'd get mad at the big dog, and she would tear into him. And that big old dog would just reach down. He'd take his big paw, and he would just pin her down to the ground. And he'd stand there just looking around. And that little ball of fury would snarl and snap and crawl and try to claw and bite and do everything she could do. And he just holding her down. After a while, she'd wear out and get calm. He'd just lift his foot up and let her go. Amen. I thought many times, that's how God resists the proud. You get all full of your fury and all of that. And God just says, okay. Puts his hand on you and said, all right, calm down. Amen. The Bible said he resists the proud, but he exalts the humble. You see, I've heard people say, I got to promote my ministry. Well, if you do, you're in trouble. First of all, I don't want it to be my ministry. I want it to be His ministry. I love the story told about our dear brother Barnes. When in the heyday, I mean, he was up there with all the big name preachers. And he painted his, had a sign painted, put it over his tent. It said, Barnes Healing Campaign. And he was admiring his sign. And the Lord spoke and said, who's Barnes? He had enough sense to take that thing down and roll it up and get rid of it. Amen. It's not Barnes Healing Campaign. It's not so-and-so ministries. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's all about Jesus Christ. He's got to be at the center of it all. Amen. That's what matters, folks, is that Jesus Christ is getting all of the glory. The Bible said that He gives grace to the humble. Humility is a Christian law. Humble yourself. I know this is kind of a little slower than what we do sometimes on Sunday night, but there's some valuable lessons that I've learned through the years I want to pass on to you. Is that all right? We just slow down a little bit here and teach. Amen. I used to not know how to handle compliments. That was hard for me. How do you receive a compliment without sounding proud? You know what I'm saying? You know, preacher, it's always a bit of a dilemma. It was when I was young, especially. People say, that was a good message, brother. Thank you. And I didn't know what to do with that. Amen. I couldn't say, well, no, it really wasn't, because I'd be lying. If it was the Word of God, it was good. I said, if it was the Word of God, it was good. Isn't that right? Sure it was. It was the Word of the Lord. It's a good message. So I would be wrong to say something like that. I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to act proud. I didn't want to sound proud. I didn't want to be proud. Didn't know what to do with it. Then I read a book by Corrie Ten Boom. Anybody remember Corrie Ten Boom? She was, those horrible prison camps in Germany in World War II, lost a number of the members of her family, greatly persecuted, came out of all of that with a great Christian spirit and attitude. And she had a beautiful lesson. She traveled all over the world preaching and talking and ministering after all that she went through. And my, what a testimony she had. And she, same thing. She'd go and she'd speak and all these people would not pour out praise on her. And she didn't know what to do with it. She didn't know how to handle it. So she said, finally, the Lord taught her a good lesson. She'd just humbly say, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad it was a blessing. Thank you. And then at the end of the day, she would gather up all of those thanks and all of that praise. And she said she would offer it up to the Lord and say, yes, Jesus, it all belongs to you. Amen. It all belongs to you. Brother Gidrose used to tell us, he said, praise is like cologne. He said, it's all right to dab a little on the outside. Just don't drink the stuff. It'll kill you. Amen. Praise is like that. It's not intended for eternal use. Amen. Don't take it too seriously. You know, the apostles learned that, didn't they? You remember Paul picked up the wood and the snake bit him, and they thought he was going to die, and he didn't. And all of a sudden they said, oh, they're gods, they're gods. Let's worship them. Mercury's come down. Let's worship them. And a few verses later, they were trying to kill him. Let me tell you something. Fame is very fickle. Popularity is not all it's cracked up to be. Amen. So don't get your eyes on that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I went to Bible college with a young man that he used to say, well, you know, God just called me to the big churches.
He had a little problem with pride. Well, he had a big problem with pride. Amen. I didn't ever hear God called anybody to big churches. God just calls us to preach the gospel. Isn't that right? Amen. I think you ought to preach wherever he sends you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been places I got little offerings. I've been places I got no offerings. I've been places I got big offerings. Amen. You just go preach. That's it. You just minister. You just do what you can. You get an opportunity, you go for it. Amen. Of course, you want to clear that with your pastor first. Amen. You get yourself in trouble out there by yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the law of humility. And then he talks about the law of serenity. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Amen. You want me to tell you what to do with your troubles? You gather it all up and you just throw it on Jesus Christ. Amen. I heard a guy was praying one time. Oh, he was praying. He was praying. He was so disturbed he couldn't sleep. He couldn't do nothing. Finally, the Lord said, son, you're tired. Why don't you go on to sleep? He said, I'm going to be up all night anyway. Amen. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Amen. You know, God, it's never dark where he is because he's the light. Praise the Lord. You think you got a tough burden that God can't handle? He can carry it. Reminds me of the old farmer that was walking along with a big old bag of wheat on his shoulder. And it was old days, and the wagon stopped. And the guy offered him a ride. He crawled up in that wagon. He was holding that bag still. And the fellow said, just toss that bag off in the back there. He said, you don't have to handle it. He said, oh, that's all right. My brother, he said, this old horse has got enough to pull, just pulling me without having to pull this bag too. Well, you need to think that through. Have you ever said something that dumb? I have. Amen. I've said a few things, thought about and said, that wasn't the smartest thing I believe I've ever said. I didn't quite think that one through. Amen. The Bible said, cast your cares on him. Have you ever solved a problem by worry?
Nope.
Have you ever made things better by worrying?
Nope.
Then why are you worrying? Do you think you can do something God can't? If you can handle it by yourself, you'd already handle it. If you could have made it better already, you already would have. Then why in the world are you worrying about it? Cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. That's what faith does, doesn't it? Shake your head like this. You're right, Brother Grissom. To all you worriers, you know I'm telling you the truth tonight. Quit worrying. Amen. Praise the Lord. You never have solved anything by worrying. You never will. Cast it on the Lord. Let go of it. Let God have it. Amen. Brother Bacon preached recently, let go and let God. Amen. Or let God and then let go. Praise the Lord. My. Woo! I guess some folks, they wouldn't know what they didn't have something to worry about. Amen. Just cast your care on him. Let him have it. Don't worry. Hasn't he brought you this far? Let you down? Has he ever failed? Hasn't he done miracle after miracle after miracle for you? You know why? He cares for you. He loves you. Amen. Your picture's on his refrigerator if he's got one.
Amen. He loves you tonight. Don't worry. Let God. Amen. Serenity. You know, the Christian life, we ought to be the happiest, smilingest, carefreeest people in the whole world. Isn't that right? Yes, sir, we should. Amen. Walking around, our old faces creased with worry and fret. What kind of witness is that? Alrighty. Amen. Everybody say serenity. Yeah, well, let's just go ahead and be serene. Be happy. Smile. Praise the Lord. You look good smiling. Praise the Lord. You know what? It's hard to really, really smile real big and not feel good. That's right. And you just, it just makes you feel better when you smile. Praise the Lord. And then the law of vigilance. He said, be sober. It means be sober-minded. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't laugh sometimes. Amen. Humor. The Bible said laughter doeth good like a medicine. It's okay to laugh sometimes. Amen. It's good to smile and laugh. What he means by be sober is that you're not under the influence of something that has robbed you of all of your faculties. Amen. You got your eye out. You got your ears listening. Amen. You're observant. You see what's going on around you. That's the way to live your life. Amen. You see, when you're a Christian and have the mind of Christ, you perceive things that maybe others don't perceive. And I know that's why people oftentimes think that we're so negative and we're down on stuff. We're not down on stuff. We just know where it's leading to. Amen. You see, it's not that I hate anybody. I'm not trying to be better than somebody else, but I can just see where certain things lead to, and if I, you know, and I can see through certain things. Amen. And I can see agendas in things, and I'm not reading into things. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't see a conspiracy in everything. Amen. But I am able to, especially now that I'm a little older, got a little more wisdom, I can see things I couldn't see before. I can see agendas in a lot of the things that are going on in the world today. Because, you know, when you start seeing certain things and little antennas go up and say, what's with this? Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. I know that the world used to think that we were a little bit crazy for whenever we used to take a stand against television programming. They'd say, now y'all going too far now. What's wrong with Bonanza? Not much. It wasn't Bonanza we're worried about. It's where it's headed. Could I say tonight, we're a long way from Bonanza. I've heard of churches now using Andy Griffith to teach ethics in church. But we're a long way from Andy. We're a long way from loving Lucy. We're a long way from that so far back. Did you know what the inventor of the television said? He said, I have watched television go from its infancy to adultery. And you know what I'm talking about. And almost everything on there, and I'm even, and again, I'm not on any soapbox here tonight, I'm just telling you that we have some insight. Most of the cartoons have an agenda. Amen, they have an agenda. And if you're a wise parent, you'll be able to see, well, you know, I know what they're trying to teach my kid. You know, they made one of the telebubbies gay. They They made one of the Care Bears gay. They made the Green Lantern gay. What are we getting there? We trying? Did anybody see a pattern? What are we doing? We're pushing an agenda. Amen. And if you have any insight at all, and no, I don't see all these things, but I read about it. Amen. I read about it. I want to know. I have a desire to know what's going on in the world. I think I need to. I don't have to go see it to understand what the agenda is. Amen. There's a whole lot of brainwashing concerning global warming and environmentalism and all of that, which is a whole lot of it. More than anything, it's an old religion called pantheism. Not panseism, pantheism. We already covered that one. Pantheism. Pantheism believes that nature is God. Amen. And so you see that all those old things. You see, when you pay attention, a little spiritual knowledge and a little bit of spiritual sensitivity, we're not out looking for bad and everything. 1,000 times, no. But even if it's there, and I'm not saying that everything's just bad. I'm just saying that there's a lot of agendas in this world. Amen. And we need to be smart enough and spiritual enough to see that. And be able to counteract that. We need to be able to teach our children truth. We don't want them getting into these things blindsided. Amen. As we go along here, you're going to have to offset a lot of things. Amen. So we need to be vigilant. We need to be aware. This is the world we live in. Hey, I don't want to be negative about it. There's a lot of positive things. Right. Praise the Lord. And I believe I'm a positive person. I really try to be. Amen. But at the same time, I'm not going to cover my eyes and stick my head in a hole somewhere. I want to know what's going on. And I want to see the agendas. And I want to see where things are headed. And we can see that. Praise the Lord. And when we see it, we are going to preach about it. You got to be vigilant. If I say vigilant, amen. You got to be on guard. You got to be a centennial. You got to have your eyes open. You got to have your ears open. You got to be spiritually sensitive. Now he explains. He said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now if the telephone rang and somebody answered and come running here and said, Brother Grissom, they were hauling a circus through here and the cage to the lions opened up and there's lions out there roaming around. I promise you, when you walk to your car, you'd be a little more vigilant. And if about the time you stepped outside, somebody went, "Rawr!" you'd nearly get raptured. And it might be me. Amen. I sure would have fun doing that. You know what I'm talking about? You be vigilant, right? We just got to understand that there is a devil out there. I know that some years ago, I don't know if that's even so anymore, but when I was kind of young, they used to have the hot stuff. Anybody ever hot stuff? He was this cute little red devil, had this little pitchfork, always running around getting in trouble and causing trouble. That was cute. But the devil's not really like that. Amen. He's grown up now. The Bible said he's a great red dragon and he's angry because he knows that his time is short. He knows that just real soon he's going to get kicked out of heaven. Amen. So we need to be aware of these things tonight. Don't you get lulled to sleep. Did you know that there are Christians and there are actually churches and pastors that don't even believe in a literal devil anymore? They've allowed political correctness to press upon them to the place that they don't even believe that there's a real devil. I'm telling you tonight, there is. Amen. And the greatest success he's ever had is to teach, to deceive people to believe that he doesn't exist. That's the greatest battle he could ever win. It's just to believe there's not even the devil. So he's real. The Bible says he's real. Amen. So there's a law of vigilance and there's a law of resistance. You might say resist. That's how you battle the devil. The devil will wrestle with you, but he can't throw you. Not if you resist. Amen. I don't know, those of you that have played football, you know you got these linebackers up there. They're usually big guys. Amen. It's okay for the quarterback to be skinny till he gets hit a few times. Amen. He needs to be able to run. But you know, those linebackers, they need to be all meat. Amen. No filler. Amen. I mean the real thing. They stand up there and their job is to make things. You don't get through that line. You stand there. Amen. And you they're gonna, you know, they believe that scripture that says that the humble shall inherit the earth, that's what they believe. They believe in making you eat the earth, man. They're gonna give you a good mouthful of it. Amen. They're not really religious fellows. But their job. Man, that's what they're supposed to do. And whenever you're dealing with the devil, you get a linebacker spirit. And you say, you're not coming through here, bud. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to fight you tooth and toenail. You're not coming through here. You're not getting in my house. You're not getting my kids. You're not getting in my family. Amen. We're not going there. We're not doing that. We're taking a stand over here. And you resist him. What did it say? It said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, he's a coward at heart. The Bible said he's like a roar. It didn't say he's a lion, it said he roars like a lion. He's not a real lion, he's got a roar. Amen. You resist him and he'll run. But you got to resist. Christian resistance. That's a big part of our ministry is resisting. Not giving in. Not giving in. Amen. My. You think I could preach a little on that? Somebody made a very tremendous statement. And it bears a great fact. He said if we would have held the line against fornication, we would never have to worry about abortion. But because churches gave up here, now then we're fighting way back there. You see, folks, you got to get here and you got to hold the line. Isn't that right? You got to hold the line. Amen. We got to hold the line, folks. Amen. We're not against people. We love people. But it's about sin and holding a line. Is that all right? I'm talking about resisting the devil here. Amen. Young people, I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. I don't care what other people say. It's not all right. I don't care what other churches say. I don't care what other preachers say. I don't care how modern people have gotten. It's still sin. And we still got to hold the line. We're resisting some things here. Isn't that right? And we're resisting some things. And I talked a minute ago, you know, about television. I know that some people have let that thing down, but we still got it. We got to kind of hold the line here, folks. Movies and DVDs and now on computers. And I know we're so far past television issue. Now then it's on your telephone. It's on your wristwatch. It's everywhere. But you just got to hold the line there on content. We're not against technology. Let me say that again. We're not against technology. We're against content. You can't stop technology. It's coming in. And it's going to keep increasing. And technology can be good. The fact that we could Skype with a church over in Pakistan and have church with them right here in Athens, that's good. That's technology. It's a good technology. So it's not that we're against technology, but we got to hold on to certain content. Is that right? Can I get an amen there? Amen. Amen. Y'all still with me? Yes, sir. I'm trying to wrap it up here.
So there's a law of resistance. There's a law of standing against what's wrong. Amen. Did you know what? You know, I know some people believe, what is it they say? They say moderation in all things. But you know what? If you never take a drink of alcohol, you'll never have to worry about being an alcoholic. See, if you draw the line there, you don't have to worry about the rest of it. Isn't that right? So there are some things, if you'll just draw the line out a little bit further than maybe is required, instead of getting over here right to the edge, where you just make one wrong step and you're gone. See? You know what I'm talking about? You know, if you're riding on a dangerous highway and you get right over, just right on that shoulder's mountain over here, like when we're in Columbia, there's a lot of those. Amen. You don't want to get over there. Just get as close as you can to that. No. You want to stay over here. Draw your line a little bit closer in. Amen. Cut yourself some slack here. Make some room there so that if anything ever happens and you got a little bit of leeway there. Talking about resistance here and we gotta make ourselves as safe as possible. Hurrying along. And then there's the law of suffering. Did you know everybody's going to suffer in the world? Anybody believe there's suffering in the world? Anybody know that anybody that's ever suffered? Anybody here ever suffered? Amen. Well, I'm glad to be in a place where nobody's ever suffered. This is the first place I've ever been like that. Amen. I've suffered. Amen. I do every day. Amen. You do too. You put up with me. So he said, after that ye have suffered a while, he gives us the fruit of suffering. There are four things that Peter says comes out of suffering. First of all, he said he's going to make you perfect. Everybody say perfect. That's pretty cool, huh? He's going to make you perfect. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to be without any flaws. It doesn't mean that other people are going to think you're perfect. Actually, the word really means that he's going to mend everything that's broken. That's what he's going to do. He's going to mend broken things in your life. That's what the Greek word means, to mend the broken things. Isn't that interesting that God would use suffering to mend the broken things? Did you know that sometimes when you go to a doctor, he's got to cause you some suffering before he can mend what's wrong? Yes, sir. That's exactly what happens. Isn't that right, Sister Barbie? Isn't that right what happens? Amen. You go in there feeling a whole lot worse than you felt when you went in. You're in some serious pain. Amen. I went in and I had some periodic chest pains. But man, for several days there, woo, I had some serious chest pain. You know, I take a saw and zip you open and take some stretchers and pull you open and reach in there and grab your heart and yank it out of there and do plumbing on it and start it back up, put it back in there, sew you back up with big old staples and get some wire and put it in there. Amen. And some serious suffering after that. Amen. But you know what? It's been, how long has that been? Long time. It's been nearly 7 years and my heart's still pumping. I don't hurt anymore. Praise the Lord. I'm still here. He said the Widowmakers, he said it's 98% blocked. And they call it a Widowmaker because if that other 2% shuts up, you're gone. And you know, they just went in there and they just did a little plumbing and went around the problem and I'm still here. Praise God. See? But there was some suffering to mend what was broken. There's some suffering to mend what was broken. And so that's a part of the ministry. It mends the broken things. And then he said he will establish you. Suffering establishes you. The word means solid as granite. Amen. I've noticed that people that suffer a little bit, you talk about getting strong and solid. Amen. Suffering drives some people away. And it makes some people dig in. It makes some people say, I am standing right here. I found where I belong and I am not moving. Amen. Established. And then he said it will strengthen you. It will fill you with strength. Isn't it interesting that fan right there, if you had a little candle, you stick that old candle up there and it would blow it out. But if you let that thing blow on a stronger fire, it'll make it grow bigger. Amen. You see, you and I know this, that the only way that you can put out some fires is to cut off all of the air. It feeds on the air. So if you can cut the air out of it, you can kill it. But as long, it doesn't matter how strong the wind's blowing, it's not going to put it out. It's just going to keep driving it. It's going to make it bigger. Amen. And so suffering's like that. It comes into your life. And when you get your flame big enough that the winds of opposition can't blow it out, it'll make it get stronger. And the more the wind rages, the hotter and the greater your blaze will burn. So he said that's what suffering does. And then he said it'll settle you. The word settle means to lay the foundations. Amen. Now, suffering for some people just embitters them. The more they suffer, the more bitter they become. But for a Christian, it settles your foundation more and more. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Suffering can make you get so settled, nothing can move you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love to see people like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But a little bit of suffering can cause that for you. Now, it's not that we ask for suffering. And it's not that we welcome suffering. It's just that that's the result of suffering. Amen. For a lot of people, it makes you settle down. Amen. And I like what Jesus said. You remember Jesus one time, he taught some real and popular things. And the Bible said that the multitude, everybody say the multitude. The multitude, the big crowds walked away. And he stood there just with his disciples. And he looked at them. And he said, and I think sorrowfully, he said, will ye also go away? And Peter said, to whom could we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Peter said, I found something here I can't find anywhere else. Hallelujah. When you understand that tonight, that you have found truth. You have found truth. And the Bible said, when you find the truth, you said, sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hang on to it. Get a love for it. Amen. And don't let anything move you away from it. Not even suffering. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a law of suffering. We're all going to have some of it. Did you know that there's suffering in the world? Is there? Anybody believe there's suffering in the world tonight? What's the difference in suffering in the world and suffering in the church? Amen. This has profit. Suffering in the world has no profit. Amen. If you go drink until you get a hangover, amen, you're suffering, but there ain't no profit. Amen. If you're suffering the effects of an overdose, hey, there's no profit in that. Amen. But if I'm suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ, there's profit in that. Amen. A light shining. A testimony is going forth. Amen. He's putting some strength in my bones. Let's stand together. Thank you so much. of your time tonight. Amen. We've got to strengthen some things, hold some lines here tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God that He can fix broken things. He can fix broken things. He mends broken things. Amen. Anybody broken? Anybody got anything broken here tonight? Have you ever heard of a broken heart? Have you ever heard of a broken spirit? You know, God can mend those things. I think it was Wayne Goodine wrote a song, and it was called The Heart Mender. He's the heart mender. Amen. He can fix broken hearts and broken minds, broken spirits. God knows He can fix broken homes. He can fix broken marriages. He can fix all kinds of broken relationships. God specializes in taking broken things and putting them together. Amen. Aren't you glad you know somebody that can fix it? Whatever's wrong tonight, He can fix it. He didn't break it, but He can fix it. He didn't break it, but He can fix it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He fixes broken things. You got something broken tonight? Anybody have something broken you need to bring to the Lord? There was a father that left his child to occupy him a little while. He gave him a puzzle of the world. Now the child was too little to know too much about the world. He didn't know where the pieces went. But the father was so surprised when he came in. All of the puzzle was worked and all the pieces were in the right places. And he said, "How did you do that?" And the child said, he said, "On the other side of the pieces," he said, "there was a picture of Jesus." And he said, "When I got Jesus together," he said, "the world was just in the right place." Amen. When I got Jesus together, then the world just was all in the right place. And I found that to be true. If I can get Jesus in the right place, then no matter what's wrong in my world, it's in the right place. Isn't that right? Amen. He fixes broken things. Broken things. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Broken dreams, wounded hearts, broken talks. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrow into joy. Yes, He will. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken hearts. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrow into joy.
Yes, He will. Give them all.
Give them all.
Give them all.
Give them all.